Hope everybody is doing well. It's good to be back. Last week, Daniel spoke. I don't know about you. I went back and listened to that. If you were here last week or if you listened to the podcast, probably one of the best messages Daniel has ever preached. So he's come in such a, he's come a long way as a speaker, and he's doing great. And I'm just so proud of him and his heart for Christ and being a part of the team here at LifePoint. So super thankful for Daniel. I'm also thankful for last weekend. Jen and I were out. We went to a, I guess you would call it a marriage retreat with some other pastors and pastors' wives. And that was, it was nice to get away. It was not typically my scene in like a little cabin. I'm a little more bougie than that. But it was great. It was nice to get away. And but I'm super thankful to be back. And I'm excited and sad at the same time to be wrapping up this message series. I hope that God has used this in your life as much as he has in mine just to deliver it and bring it to you guys. Man, the book of Galatians is just phenomenal. It's one of my favorite books. And I think it's just, it's such an important book for us today, because the church has become something that, honestly, I think it was never intended to be. It's so, it can be so beautiful. It can be so incredible and precious, but it can also be a place that's toxic and hurtful. And a lot of time it's when we move from the true gospel message of grace and faith in Jesus alone, and we move it into rules and do's and don'ts and these lists. And I've said it over and over every week because I get paranoid. I don't want people to think I'm saying just go do whatever you want. And we're going to see that more here in chapter 6. But it's not about that. It's about being set free in Christ. And when you have that freedom, it then leads you to live a life that honors and glorifies him, because there's nothing else that you could honestly do. There's no way to respond to the true gospel message other than just giving Jesus everything and serving him and glorifying him and living for him. And that's what the true gospel message does. As we've saw all through the book of Galatians, Paul keeps going back to the fact that it brings freedom. And that we as followers of Jesus have to live from that freedom. You see, the law or the rules, the list, the legalism, it leads, and I know this from experience, to bondage. It leads to enslavement, to guilt, to unnecessary shame and judgment and insecurity and rejection. But the true gospel message, man, it leads to peace, hope, joy, love, freedom. And I don't know about you all, but that's exactly what I need and long for in my life, is more of that. And the beautiful thing is that is exactly what Jesus offers to us. But you see, the people of Galatia struggled with the same thing that we do today. That's why Paul wrote this letter. Is that it's so easy for us to slip back into a works-based mentality. See, because we're constantly, as flawed humans, we're constantly trying to figure out how we can prove ourselves, how we can earn something, because that's what's ingrained in our culture. So when it comes to our faith, it seems way too simple to just receive something so powerful and so beautiful as salvation and grace and forgiveness when we don't deserve it. So we're constantly trying to figure out ways to earn it. And when people present that to us in a nice little package that seems good on the surface, we jump on that. But it leads down this road of a false gospel message. And we have to wage war against that. And that's what Paul was doing with the people of Galatia. It's nothing new. He was helping, he wrote this letter, and he was bold, and he was direct, and that's why I love this book so much, because it's just to the point, and I'm all about that. Like, just get to the point. Be blunt. It's all good. It's okay. And that's what he does here. So, quick recap. I'll try not to labor this, but in chapter 1, we saw and we discussed how the law was from humans, right? It was man-made. It was brought about again to help us try to earn something. But when Jesus came on scene and he extends grace, we see that grace is directly from God. Works and the law is about us and what we can do, but grace is about what God's already done through his son Jesus. And it's such a beautiful thing. And in chapter 2, we learn more about how we are to live by grace and faith. Not just receive it, but we have to live every day from grace and faith. Week 3, Daniel talked about how our faith in Christ actually leads to security in Christ. And we all need that. We all need some security in our life. Week 4, we talked about how we have been rightfully taught salvation through grace and faith in Jesus, right? But at times, we're also wrongly taught, sometimes in the same breath, that acceptance, worth, and love comes from works and what we can do. And then last week, like I said, Daniel did a great job of expressing and laying out the importance of Holy Spirit living. And I think he hit the nail on the head when he said, for some of us that have been in the church like our entire lives, when we look at the Trinity, we're down, you know, God, God the Father, God the Son, that all makes sense to us. But when we get to that Holy Spirit, sometimes we just don't know what to do with it. It's just so foreign to us. But it's so powerful and it's so beautiful. And I think he did a great job. And so each week of this series, we've kind of gone back to the same key thought, right? The same key thought, and it's that we are saved by grace through faith and must live by grace and faith. That it's just not a one-time thing. Yes, salvation, we receive the grace of God through faith. He redeems us. He makes us a new creation. We're made right through him. But then from that point on, we have to continue to live and operate through grace and faith. And that's where we struggle. That's where we begin to mess things up. And so as we move into chapter 6, as Paul closes out this letter, we see that he really does a great job in chapter 6 of concluding things. He puts everything in 18 verses in this nice, clean package. He throws out some wisdom, some application, and then he kind of does this overview again of the law and how it's more about grace. It's about our freedom in Christ. It's a great chapter, and that's one of the reasons I'm excited to present this to you today. And so what we're going to see here is that, again, he gives us that practical application. And we all need that. We all look for that. When we're reading scripture, we really want to see, okay, how can I apply this in my life today? How can I take God's word and live today with it, living through me? And it's there. We just have to get in it. And we see this in chapter 6. And what we're going to see is we're going to look at four different things in the first few verses of this chapter where Paul's telling the people of Galatia, and it's the same thing for us today, how to live by grace and faith. How to live a life that glorifies and honors God. Because while he focused primarily on our freedom in Christ, what he wanted to make crystal clear to them is that, yes, we have freedom in Christ, but we are to use that freedom to honor and glorify God. To live lives that actually lead people and connect people to Jesus. Not to abuse that freedom and go do whatever we want to do and live however we want to live. No, we're to use that freedom to glorify him and to honor him with our lives. And that's what we see, some practical application here. So let's just go ahead and start in chapter 6, verse 1. And the first thing that we're going to see in living by grace and faith and living a life that's honoring and glorifies God is that the first thing we see is that we have to have each other's back. As Christ followers, as this church, LifePoint Church, and as the global church of believers, we've got to have each other's back. And that's something that we don't do too much of, unfortunately. Check it out. Verse 1, starting here, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path." He goes on, "And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourselves. Share each other's burdens. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourselves. You are not that important. Again, my guy's blunt. He's to the point. I dig it. But right here, I mean, he kicks off this chapter with a bang. Dear brothers and sisters, if any believer is overcome by some sin, you are a godly man. You should gently and humbly bring them back into the right path. We have to have each other's back. We're not to badmouth each other. We're not to stab each other in the back. We're not to judge one another. Oh, did you see what they did? Did you see what they posted the other day? Shoot. Did you see them out Saturday night? Oh, we're not supposed to badmouth each other. We're not supposed to tear each other down. We're supposed to build each other up. And yes, there are times that we, as followers in Christ and as brothers and sisters, we have to call each other out on our crap. My wife is great at that with me. She's got that down. Pat, she's good at it. But I need that. But how does Paul say that we're to do that? That's the key. He says that we're to do that gently and humbly. How many of you all see that today? No. Some here and there. Some people got this down, but that's not what we typically see. What we typically see is someone bashing someone else on Facebook. Someone calling. That's why I've been off Facebook for 4 years. I took a month break, greatest thing of my life. 1 month turned into 4 years. But it was because it destroyed my spirit to see other people bashing other believers or bashing non-believers, holding them to a standard that they don't even believe in. That's what we see more of. We see more of that. We see people talking about each other behind their back. We see someone shaming them. That's why people don't come forward and share their burden. That's why people are afraid and they hide their sin. And what happens when sin's hidden? It festers. It grows. It doesn't get better on its own. It grows and it grows and it spirals out of control. Another reason why we are one of the most anxious group of people, depressed group of people. A lot of it's because we're carrying burdens that we were not created to carry on our own. But because the other Christ followers around us don't love us enough at times to gently and humbly tell us, hey, come here. I think you're gone off course here. I think you're struggling here. How can I help? How can I love you? And then it says in here, you know, to be careful, right? That you don't fall into it yourself. Because you are no better than them. That's why we do this humbly and gently. Because it could easily be us. And we have our own things that we need someone to call us out on if we're being real. Gently and humbly, we have to have each other's back. We've got to be there for each other. If we're going to live a life of grace and faith, if we're going to live a life that honors and glorifies God, as a community of believers, we have to have each other's back. If we can't do that, we're already at a deficit. If Life Point Church, if we can't do that within this community, we're going to fail. We should just shut the doors. Because who would want to be a part of that type of community? We have to have each other's back. The second thing that we see in the same breath is he's saying you got to kind of have each other's back. We also need to worry about ourselves. I tell that to my kids all the time. Worry about yourself. Worry about yourself. Because see, one thing that we struggle with in 2019 to accept as a society is that we are the only ones that are in control of us. When I worked at Youspiritus, I used to tell the kids all the time, don't worry about what these other kids are doing. Don't worry about what they said and did. Focus on you. Because only you can control you. Only you can do those things. So yes, we have to have each other's back, but we also need to worry about ourselves. Check this out, verse 4 and 5. It says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. We are a culture of comparison. Social media has just thrown that out. Just, it's crazy. We compare everything. It's toxic. It's not good. And it says there won't be a need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. We are responsible for our own conduct. At the end of the day, if someone comes to me gently and humbly and tells me, hey, based off this, you're going down a wrong path. And I love you, and I don't want to see that happening. And if I keep pushing them off, I keep pushing them off. Man, that's on me. That ain't on nobody else but me. And they can't fix me. Only God can do that work in us. And we are responsible for responding to Him. We are responsible for taking action and doing the things that we know to do. And I believe Paul is expressing this to the Galatians first and foremost because it's true, right? You're responsible for your own behavior. But I think also he knew, writing to a culture, that people had come in and said, no, it's about Jesus plus the law and these works and all that. I think he knew that in a works-based system, we can so quickly become judgmental. We can become so quickly worried about everyone else that we take our eyes off Jesus and what he's trying to do in our lives. So we push ourselves to the side, or we put ourselves up on this pedestal that we're holy and righteous and everyone else is a failure. And it's our mission to get everyone else's life back on track, which is not a bad mission. I've spent my entire adult career serving others in some way, shape, or form. But if I'm not focused on me and my relationship with Christ off top, I'm going to burn out real quick. And I'm going to be no good to anyone, especially not good for myself or for my family. So yeah, we got to have each other's back. But we also got to worry about yourself. You got to work on you. The third thing that we see in living a life that glorifies and honors God is basically just common sense gardening. Any gardeners in here? No? Woo. Y'all need to plant some basil or something. The third thing, it's common sense gardening, is that we harvest what we plant. Harvest what we plant. Verse 7, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live to only satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Hear me again. Do not get tired of doing what is good, because at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Don't give up. You're going to harvest what you plant. Perfect example of this is my son. For whatever reason, last night, decided that after eating a cherry, he's going to take the seed, go plant it in the front yard. I don't think he's going to have good results for a plethora of reasons. But if you plant a cherry seed, what's going to happen? Like, in the right conditions, what's going to grow? A cherry tree, right? Plant a cherry tree, or plant a cherry seed, you get a cherry tree. You're not going to get a tomato plant. You're not going to get an apple tree. You're going to get a cherry tree. Common sense. What you plant is what's going to grow. Same thing in our lives. What you plant in your life, how you live, that's what you're going to harvest. It's going to be the results. There's consequences for our conduct, for our actions, for our behavior, for the way that we live. And a lot of people, when they hear the word consequence, they think the negative, but that's not always the case. The consequence is just the result of something that you do. So if you do the good things, if you're living right, if you're living by the Spirit, if you're glorifying God, you're going to reap a harvest of blessing. Doesn't mean life's going to be perfect. Trust me, it's not. But ultimately, there's going to be blessing. But if you're out there abusing your freedom, living however you want to do, doing whatever you want to do, and living crazy, you're going to harvest some craziness. That's just reality. It's common sense, really. I'll say it like this. If you're eating a gallon of ice cream a day and just chilling, you're not going to harvest a six-pack. I wish it would work that way, but it doesn't. You're going to harvest probably bad health, not a good physique. But if you're diligent with your diet, you're eating healthy, you're eating clean, drinking lots of water, and you're working out, then you might. Gonna harvest better results. At your job, if you're slacking off all day long and you do just enough to not get fired, you're not gonna harvest a raise and a promotion. You're just gonna do enough to not get fired, and your bosses are probably gonna talk about you when you're not there and how they wish you would just resign and leave, probably. But if you're out there grinding every single day, giving your absolute best, committed, dedicated, glorifying God with your work, you're probably going to harvest some good things. If you spend all day long, all your free time on social media, TV, numbing your brain, you're not going to harvest an incredible relationship with God or an incredible relationship with the people in your life. But if you spend time in quiet, solitude, prayer, reading God's word, you're going to harvest a connected relationship with Him. You're going to harvest what you plant. So if you want to live that life of grace and faith that honors and glorifies Him, we got to understand this. We got to make sure we pay attention to what we're planting day in and day out. And the last thing that we see that Paul instructs the Galatians in living this kind of life is that we must rise above blank. You fill in the blank. Whatever it is for you. Let me clarify. Verse 10, Paul says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. We should do good to everyone. Not just some people, not just the people you get along with, not just the people who have never hurt you, but we are to do good to everyone. So my question for you today with this piece is, are you doing good to everyone? Are you loving everyone? How many of you can honestly say, and I won't be surprised if people do actually raise their hand, but how many of you would honestly say, day in and day out, 24/7, you do good to everyone? Anybody? Cool, that's what I figured. I thought there might be some of you out there, some of y'all out there killing it. So, you've got to rise above whatever it is that's keeping you from doing good to everyone. Because we all have those things in our lives that keep us from doing good to everyone. You have to identify that for you. That's part about worrying about yourself. And about me having your back. If I know what it is, I'm going to come gently and tell you. But really, that's all about you. That's between you and God. What is it? Maybe for you, it's anger and bitterness towards somebody. Maybe it's anger and bitterness or hate towards a group of people. Maybe it's doubt and insecurity that's keeping you from doing good to everyone. Maybe it's some type of hurt and trauma from your past you're struggling to let go of. or to work through. I'm not saying it's easy, but maybe that's what's keeping you from doing good to everyone. Maybe it's that you would just rather win an argument than to actually love somebody. To love them enough to say, you know what, we disagree, that's cool, I love you though. Let's keep it moving. Maybe that's why you can't do good to everyone, because you love to win that argument. Maybe it's more arrogance and pride, and that you just think you're better than everyone. So why am I going to do good to you? I'm better than you. When you drive past the people on the corners, do you do good to them? I'm not saying that you have to give or do whatever, but are you doing good to them? These are the things that we have to look through. Maybe for you, it's more of an issue with you're attached and consumed with religion and the law, as opposed to actually just doing good to everyone and loving your neighbor as yourself. What is it that you need to rise above in order to do what God has called each and every one of us to do? It's all through Scripture. Don't get it twisted. It is throughout Scripture. We've seen it two or three times already in this book alone. We're to do good to everyone, to love our neighbors as ourselves. If we can do that, we fulfilled the whole law. Love God, love people, right? So what's keeping you from doing that? What do you need to rise above? And if you're going to live a life that's honoring and glorifying to God, you've got to identify that. You've got to get real with yourself. You've got to spend some quiet time with God for Him to reveal that to you. Because a lot of times we're so hardened in our hearts that we can't hear it or see it. We are so blind to what is really going on in our lives, or how we really feel, or where our heart actually is. You need to spend that time. You need to do that work, and you've got to rise above that so that you can truly do good to everyone. And Paul lays these things out to us. Things that we can do, very practical in our day-to-day lives, in order to live a life that is honoring and glorifying to God. Again, live a life that points people that don't know Christ to Him, not pushes them away. Got enough of that. We're going to live that life of grace and faith. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith. So thankful for that. We had to earn it, I'd be in deep trouble. Throw in a towel. It's going to be a loss. We are saved by grace and faith, but how we live truly does matter. It matters. And that's what Paul is reminding the Galatians of. He doesn't want them to swing the pendulum back too far the other way. He doesn't want them to be all consumed with the law and religion and works-based mentality, but he also doesn't want to swing it all the way over here where they're just doing whatever they want and be like, I'm saved by grace. Because it just doesn't work that way. He's trying to help them find that healthy middle ground where they understand that they're saved by grace through faith, but they're also living by grace through faith. And so from this point, he transitions in, and again, Paul and his transitions are hard. They're just hardcore. And he transitions from this practical application right into verse 11, where he's coming back just like he started. Just like he started the book, he's moving back towards coming at the Judaizers about what they came in and were teaching after he left, when he's teaching them about these works. He wasn't happy. So verse 11, he says, notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. Like, he's like, yo, check this out. Like, all caps. We had talked about that before. Y'all don't like those emails. Get those all caps emails, and you think someone's screaming at you. Get all your feelings hurt. He says, notice the large letters that I'm using as I write these words. Man, he was passionate about correcting this false teaching. He was passionate about preserving the truth of the gospel message. That it's grace through faith, that it's Jesus plus nothing. He was passionate about it. He was relentless in the way he continued to tell the Galatians, it's about grace through faith. Grace through faith. Not your works, grace through faith. He was relentless. And so, again, one final time, he goes back through it. Just a quick summary of everything he put together in this. Verse 12, he says, for those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to, they want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. And even those who advocate for circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. He's saying they're hypocrites because no one can do it. They only want you to be circumcised so that they can boast about it and claim you as their disciple. And what he's saying is that this, what you've been taught by these people, is a false gospel message. It's not the truth. He said this false gospel message is built on arrogance. It's built on man's desire for power and control, and it only leads to enslavement. And that is so true today, unfortunately. Not much has changed there. We see a false gospel message being preached all throughout our country. A false gospel message that it's about Jesus plus this, 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 and this, and this. And a lot of it's out of power and control. Manipulation. But that's not the true gospel message. Because the true gospel message of Jesus, I mean, it's pure. It's beautiful. It's full of love and mercy and forgiveness. It leads to freedom. That's the truth of the gospel message. And so Paul closes out his letter with some of these powerful words. Starting in verse 14, he says, "As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in the world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. None of that matters." He says, "What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation." That's all that matters. We've been transformed to this new creation. You say, may God's peace and mercy be upon all who have this principle. They are the new people of God. Saying it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or you're a Gentile. It doesn't matter whether you've been circumcised or not. It doesn't matter if you've checked this off this list of the law and this do and this don't and this do and this don't. He said, no, what matters is that you've become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Through grace and faith in Jesus alone. Nothing else. Just faith in Jesus alone. And that those who believe this true gospel message, man, they will become that new creation. They are the true people of God. And so again, as a church and as individual followers of Christ, man, it's truly time for us to step out of our comfort zones, not worry about what everyone else is going to think about us, and truly wage war against this false gospel message. It's time for us to step up and do that. As individuals and as a church, we need to embrace our freedom that we have in Christ. Embrace the true gospel message that it's Christ plus nothing. And fight tooth and nail to preserve that truth. To be relentless, just like Paul, to be relentless about that. To preserve the true gospel message. See, because there's life change and transformation and freedom in Christ. Not enslavement, not bondage, not guilt and shame. Freedom. People who don't know Christ long for that. They long to see people rise up and stand for something that's beautiful, that's powerful, that's loving. And the gospel message is that. It's only that. That's the only thing that's going to change lives. And when we live that out, when we live by the grace and faith that we've received, it is an absolute game changer. It's infectious because when we live a life that glorifies and honors God, people are like, yo, something's different about them. The way they love, the way they care for people. Man, they talk to me about God, but they don't bash it over my head. Man, it's one of the most, just even get cold chills thinking about it. One of my good friends who's, man, he wants nothing to do with God, really. If you look on the service, nothing of his life is anything about God. But he was talking with another person and I was there and he's like, you know, Andy's a pastor. He's the only person that's ever made me think about God. And it's just because he doesn't beat me over the head. He just loves me. And we talk about it, but there's no pressure. It's just because I'm just trying to love him. I'm not doing anything special. I was surprised. I was like, oh, snap, that's awesome. But it's just, we just have to live it. That's more infectious than standing on a corner with a sign or beating people over the head with it or being a keyboard warrior about your faith and your beliefs. Go live it. And I promise you, people are going to want to know what's different about you. They're going to want to know what makes you tick. They're going to want to know how you can be so forgiving and loving towards someone that's so hateful or that did you wrong, or how you were able to rise above this tragedy in your life or this issue that came. And then you'll have the privilege to say, hey, it ain't me. This is Christ living in me. He'll open those doors for us to give and deliver that true gospel message, but we have to first live it. I'm so thankful that we are saved by grace through faith. And I pray that each and every one of us, every second of every day, will actually live a life through that grace and faith. We can do that as individuals and as a church. And as we do, I promise you, it's going to be a game changer. It will. Because he's that good. His grace is more than enough. It's more than sufficient. It's incredible. So man, receive that grace and faith and then go live it. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning, man. God, we are just so thankful that you sent your son Jesus to take our place, to take on our sin, our shame, our guilt, all of our screw-ups, all of our failures, past, present, and future. Came, died for us. The ultimate sacrifice so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be made right, God. We are so thankful for that. And as we enter a time of just prayer and reflection as a church, God, I pray for those that don't know you as Savior, those who have yet to step over that line of faith. And if that's you this morning, know that God is crazy about you. He loves you. He loves you, and he wants nothing more than to be in relationship with you. So as we kind of enter this time of prayer and just meditation and thought, just if that's you, I encourage you just to start talking to God. See what he's all about. Keep seeking him. Get in his word. Come talk to me or one of someone else on our team. We'd love to tell you more about it. But if that's you and you're ready to step over that line of faith, Scripture tells us in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God rose from the grave, that you'll be saved. So if that's you, it's about confessing and believing. It's receiving that grace. You can't earn it. The price was already paid for you. So all you can do is receive. It's a gift. A gift ceases to be a gift if you have to do something to earn it. It's a beautiful gift. It's the most incredible gift ever. And he's just saying, just receive it. And when you do, you become one of his children. You become his people. You are a new creation. The old things have passed away. Everything is new. So if that's you, you just call on his name however he leads. Or if you want to come forward, you can do that. I'd love to pray with you and talk with you more. But you could do it right there from your seat. You just call on his name however he leads. You just do business with him and you just confess and believe. Confess that you have flaws. Confess that you're not perfect. And believe that Jesus is the only way. That he died and rose again for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've received that gift of salvation, of grace through faith. But you're not applying it. You're not living it. There's something missing. And you know it's not Christ because you're connected to him, but it's maybe that you're just not living it. You don't have each other's back. You've been bad-mouthing or whatever it may be. Or you're too worried about everybody else and you're not focusing on your relationship with Christ whatsoever. Maybe you're living a life that you're harvesting what you're planting. And that's not good. Maybe there's some things in your life that you really need to work through and rise above so that you can love everyone. Do good to everyone. Whatever it is this morning that God's speaking to you, you just do business with him. Whatever it is that's keeping you from living out the gospel message, the true gospel message of grace and faith, you just do business with him because I'm telling you, it's that important. It's important for your relationship with him, but it's important for your unique calling that he's placed in your life because you can never get to that if you're not living with him and for him. It's not about checking things off a list. It's not about following this set of rules and do's and don'ts. It's about honoring and glorifying him with your life because he gave it all for you. Because he loves you in spite of you. So during this time, the team's going to play. You just do business with God however he leads. God, again, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for dying for us. And God, I pray for each person that's here right now, Lord, that they would hear your voice as you speak to them. As you reveal things they need to confess or get right or someone they need to go talk with, Lord, or maybe they're on the right track and they just need to celebrate you and praise you, God. Whatever it is during this time, Lord, may we be responsive to your leading. Take that next step, whatever it is, take that next baby step towards where it is that you want us to be, towards that step of glorifying and honoring you with our lives. God, just do you during this time so that we can continue to move forward.
I came to you with my heart in pieces, I found a God with healing in his hand. Turn to you, leave everything behind me, and found a God that makes all things new. I look to you, drowning in my questions, found a God who holds all wisdom, and I trusted you. I stepped out on the ocean. You calmed my hand among the waves. 'Cause you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way. And I will give you all my praise. My seasons change, the But you stay the same, 'cause you're the God of all my days.
All right, if you're still praying through business with God, you keep doing that. That's what's most important. But as we continue on with our worship, we're going to transition into a time of giving with our tithes and our offerings. And here at LifePoint Church, there's a few different ways that you can give. You can give when the basket passes here in a second. Or you can go online to our website, top right-hand corner. It's an online giving button. If you click that, it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. But regardless of the method you choose to use to give, we just encourage you to give just back a portion of what it is that God has blessed you with, and be faithful in that giving and get in on the action of what we are doing here at LifePoint Church to reach other people and to love other people and to continue to serve other people, because that's what we want to do. We want to be able to love all people, do good to all people. So we encourage you to get in on that action with your giving. Also, if this is your first time out, thank you so much for coming and spending some time with us here at LifePoint Church and checking things out here and what God's doing. If this is your first time out, if you didn't get a bulletin or there's not a connection card in there, you can grab a connection card out in the lobby. You can put just whatever information on there you're comfortable giving. But we just encourage you to fill that out. And you can drop that off in the basket that's on the info table or pass it off to me on your way out. I'll be standing in the back. But we just want to get to know you a little bit better and connect with you. And it's just a great opportunity and avenue to do that. If you made any decisions for Christ, have any prayer needs or anything like that, you can do it on the connection card as well. It's very simple. Put it on there. Drop it off on your way out the door. And we'll either get in touch with you if that's what you need, or we'll be praying over whatever it is that you leave there for us. So today, announcement-wise, is our community meal. So once a month, second Sunday of every month, we get together, we break bread together over in the chapel. So please hang out with us, stick around. If this is your first time here, I know that can be a little awkward. We're awkward anyway, so it's just going to happen. But no, seriously, just come hang out with us, or at least just swing by and say hey, shake a few hands, and you know, you can slip out if you feel, but hey, stay and eat. If you didn't bring anything, I don't care. Come eat. We want you to in the future, next time, but don't let that stop you from coming and connecting and spending some time with each other. So that's just really important. So make sure you come and do that. It's going to be a great time right after chapel. So you can go out these doors, make a left, and you'll find it. I believe that's all we have. Announcement-wise, thank you all so much for being here with us. Man, we love you. I'm so thankful that you choose LifePoint Church as your place of worship and are part of this community. So we love you, and hope you guys have an awesome week, and we will see you then.
All right, thanks, Andy. All right, guys, let's stand. We're going to sing together on our way out this morning. We're going to go to Sweetly Broken. We're going to sing the second verse. What a priceless gift, undeserved life, have I been given through Christ crucified. Amen. Sing that together.
What a priceless gift, undeserved life, have I been given Christ crucified. You called me out of death. You called me into life. And I was under your wrath. Now through the cross I'm reconciled. At the cross you beckoned me. Draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words.